Welcome every. You might want to turn me down just a little bit. Please welcome. Please stand up, everyone. We're gonna open up God's Word. We'll be reading from John 13, 5 through 17. Then he poured water into the wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not realize now, but you will understand afterwards. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet, ever. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head as well. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to him, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you not do them.
Thank you. Amen. Good morning, church. Thank you, Lord. We just come before you to worship you this morning. Thank you for this time to gather in your name. We pray that you be glorified in all of our praises. And we just thank you for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Welcome to Resurrection Church. Come with somebody and grab the lights. Thank you, Jerry. Good morning. How are you guys doing? It's a beautiful day. Praise the Lord. Exciting day today. We have obviously a special service of commissioning and recognizing Brother Moses as our next deacon. And he just proved himself up here a few minutes ago with the microphone. So praise the Lord. Hey, coming up, we have this week we're having a worship night at Moses and Christabel's house. It's dinner and worship, 6 p.m. dinner, if you want to come for that. 7 p.m. is when worship starts, and that is always a blessed time, and we are excited for that. And thank you for hosting that. Men's Bible study is coming up on June 19th. Brother Duane's leading guys through Philippians, and then we have the high school, college, young adult group meeting at our house on the 20th. That's in a couple weeks. Also in a couple weeks, we're having Susan Staples coming on the 22nd, and she's going to give us an update. She's here in town, first time she's been, last time she was here 3 years ago, and so she'll be able to share what's going on with that. Our next month's prayer meeting, we have once a month in-person now prayer meeting. We had at our house last week, went very well. Next month we'll be at Brother Duane and Julie's house. That will be on the 9th of July. So just mark that on your calendars. You guys also, giving, we have ways of giving, obviously in the box or through the internet. And of course, anytime you want to find out what's going on, go to the website, reschurchaz.com, go to the events part, and you'll see what's coming on. Obviously, summertime is always a crazy thing because it's summertime, and we try to stay cool. But anyway, I'm excited about today. I'm super excited, and just blessed to have Pastor Brian is here. I know we're getting ready to go back to Africa, India in July, so we caught you in time. So why don't we do this one? We welcome another in the love of the Lord. Give each other just a holy handshake and just a blessings in God's name. And we'll continue our worship in celebration of the Lord, okay? Let's do that.
Rejoice, let the earth be glad. People of God sing His praise all over the land. Everyone in the valley, come and lift your voice. All those on the mountaintop, be glad, shout for joy. Rise. rise up and praise him. He deserves our love. Rise up and praise him. Worship the Holy One with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Rise up and praise him. He deserves our love.
song that I think mine's a little hot. It's by Mike. This is a song I wrote called Praise Be. It comes from the book of Daniel. And Daniel receives the message from the Lord about King Nebuchadnezzar. And praises the Lord, who reveals deep and hidden things. And I was actually spending time with the Lord one night, and the Lord, I felt revealed something to me that I thought was really clear. I was like, wow, the Lord reveals things to me too. I wrote this song.
Pouring out praises, lift up your
Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Lift up your heads and open the gates, pouring out praises, pouring out praises. Lift up your head and open the gates, pouring out praises, pouring out praises, pouring out praises, pouring out praises.
Let's sing to the Lord.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King.
Give you praise and adoration and glory. We are made to be worshipers of you, Lord. You are worthy of all glory and praise and honor. You are holy and good and righteous, merciful and faithful, full of grace and compassion. Lord, you're the one who seeks and saves that which is lost. You search for the lost to bring them home, Lord. The wandering sheep, the lost sheep. Lord, let it be that our very lives are ones that are filled with praise and thanksgiving. We want to honor you today, Lord. With our lips that sing from our heart the truths of the words, the confession of your goodness. We are apart from you nothing, Lord. Your word says that we can do nothing apart from you. We are to abide in you as the branches to abide in the vine. And so many things in our life that distract us, that get us worried. And none of that changes. Nothing going on in the world changes this one fact, that you are on the throne, that you never change, that your kingdom will come, and that your will be done. We praise you and thank you, Father, that you are so sovereign, that you can take messed up people and sinful people, and you can save and redeem and restore and give hope. You could put a new song in our heart, Lord, praise in our mouth. Jesus said that the Father is seeking those who be worshipers of him, and that's what we want to do. We want to worship you, Lord, not just with our minds, God, with our very heart, our very being, our very life. Oh, Lord, forgive us for the impurities that fill our hearts oftentimes. Forgive us for putting other people, putting man above you, Lord. Forgive us for dishonoring you. You purchased salvation on the cross, Lord, and what is the worth of that? That worth is everything. Let us not be like children that let us be children in the sense of having faith, yes, Lord, but let us not be foolish enough to say, oh, God did something for us, but we're just going to forget him. Let it be that the very fabric and the thing that drives us in our life, Lord, is to bring you glory and honor and praise and to honor and give you thanksgiving, that we will live every moment of every day unto your glory. You deserve at least that. We are to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything about us, Lord. And who else but you deserve that? And especially if we're saved here, if we believe in Jesus, we believe that you purchased us, that we are not our own. We belong to you, Lord. And we want to glorify you and say thank you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm praying about my own life, Lord, my own heart. It prones to wander, right? Forgive me, Lord. But thank you, Lord. We have joy because of Christ. We have hope because of Christ. In your holiness, you sought to send Jesus Christ to take our place. And Jesus, we love you. We want to worship and honor, and we can't wait to see you. We can't wait. We want to tell other people about you, but we want to be like Mary, sitting at your feet, listening to your word, learning of you, growing in relationship with you. And there's nothing else worth it in this life than that. And our prayer, Lord, is that we would grow and that we would tell others of your wonders and your love. And you know each one of us, Lord. The doubts that we have, the fears that we have, everything, Lord. And yet you still call us and you still anoint our head with oil and you pluck us out of the miry clay and the muddy pit of despondency. And Lord, you've lifted up our heads. And now, Lord, we behold you, Lord. We behold our Savior, Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we say thank you. We glorify you and love you, Lord. Fill us today with your Holy Spirit. Bless this service today, Lord. Be Lord of everything that goes on. Let it be the angels are here in the midst in this room, singing the praises of God with us, seeing the work of God. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you have begun a good work in us as a group, as a church, and that you'll complete it. You'll perfect it. Your will be done in our church here, Lord. And we thank you for this special service, Lord. We can set apart and recognize your work in a special brother. We ask your blessing today, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, it is a special day. First of all, thank you for the wonderful worship and Brother Nick writing that last song. That was really encouraging. Well, if you have your Bibles today, I want you to open up to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at a few verses here in anticipation of our commissioning of Moses. 1 Timothy is a letter that Paul writes to Pastor Timothy. He's ministering. He's a young guy ministering at this church, and Paul's instructing him on how to set up church and how to pastor and minister, and he brings up an office in the church called a deacon. 1 Timothy 3:8 says, deacons likewise, I'll stop right there, deacons likewise. The word likewise, he's setting up a new category, because before it was elders, here's qualifications, now deacons likewise, and there'll be women likewise, and it'll be on from there. But deacons, I'm going to break up what we're going to talk about here in 4 seconds. We're going to do the calling of the servant of God. We're going to do the conduct of the servant of God. We're going to do the character of the servant of God. And then we're going to do the commissioning of the servant of God here at the end. Jesus Christ calls all believers to be servants. The word for servant there is diakonos. The translator, instead of translating it, transliterated from the Greek, from diakonos to deacons, but the word there means servant. It's related to a word, the verb diakoneo, to serve. And the original meaning of diakonos had to do with menial tasks, like waiting on tables. But Jesus Christ calls all believers to be servants, to be diakonos. Matthew 20:26, Jesus says, it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, your diakonos. And it is the Lord Jesus who we are called to serve. In John 12:26, it says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be there also. If anyone serves me, their honor will follow. In other words, Jesus has called all believers to be servants, diakonos. Our service to Christ does not go unnoticed. In the parable of Matthew 25, he talks about how the good and faithful slave will hear these words from his master. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Guess what? The calling in life is to be faithful, to faithful service to the Lord. It is his words that he says, well done, that we all want to hear. Amen? And our service to Christ does not go unnoticed. The verb diakoneo is used of Jesus to describe his own work. Jesus says in Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve, diakoneo, and to give his life as a ransom. Jesus Christ calls all of us to serve because he himself is a servant. The scripture that Brother Daniel read was John 13, where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. This is like the night he's going to be handed over, that time period. He pours the water in the basin, he goes and he takes up a towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. In those days, the disciple, everyone walked around with sandals, and you forgot dirty, and typically went to a house, the low slave would wash your feet. But apparently that wasn't done. And so Jesus is taking on the servant role of a very low servant to wash disciples' feet. And so he says, after you wash your feet, he says, you do not know what I've done. He says, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. And you're right, I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Some churches, they have foot washing. But the idea is that you are to be servants of one another. You're to be servants of one another. And Jesus Christ is the example of a deacon. He's the deacon of deacons, the servants of servants. His own ministry, of course, was one of humility and service. Paul, of course, hints at this in Philippians 2, where he says, have this attitude in yourselves. What attitude is that? This humble attitude. who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross. So Jesus calls us all to be servants. Mark 10 has a parallel to Matthew, as I read before, but I'm just going to read the thing. In Mark 10, 42, it says, Jesus, calling them to himself, said, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." Actually, go to Mark 10. Let's go to Mark. Are you guys there? It's on the screen. What do I know? Technology. I like old-fashioned Bible study. Go to Mark 10. Just go there real fast. I just want to point something out here. Mark 10. Might as well. Mark 10, verse 42. You guys there? Okay. I promise I won't have you turn to so many scriptures. Mark 10, 42. Calling them to himself, Jesus said, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them." So when we think of leadership in the world, we think of strong leader telling everybody else what to do and dominating one else, right? And it's the heart of man to want to, like, I want to be in charge, you know, when I want to tell everyone else what to do, right? And I want to lord it, and I want to have that power and control. And Jesus says, that's not the way it is in my kingdom. That's not the way it is in church, right? But this is not the way it is to be among you. For whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your diakonos, your servant, your deacon. And whoever wishes to become first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. He did not come to serve. That's a form of diakonthenio, another form there. So Jesus Christ calls us believers to be servants. Paul himself called himself a servant. He says in Ephesians 3:7, that he was made a minister, that's the word diakonos, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. He also says this in Colossians 1:23, he was made a minister or a diakonos. He saw himself as a servant. And he calls other of his disciples servants. He calls Tychicus, faithful, a beloved brother and faithful minister, a diakonos in the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4, go back to 1 Timothy. You guys were in chapter 3. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul says, "In pointing out these things to the brothers, you will be a good servant, diakonos of Christ, Jesus," right? Being nourished on the words of faith. Now, we're all called to be servants. But now, some of us, we're all equipped to be different kinds of servants, right? There are different categories of servants. For example, God has gifted each believer a spiritual gift. My gift is teaching. Some of you guys have the gift of, actually, some people have the gift of service, where they just do what's necessary, and they want to be behind the scenes. All of us have different giftings by which we contribute to the body of Christ. If we're all called to be servants, we're not called to be spectators, are we? Interesting how, especially in America, our church is a lot of spectator sport. There's a guy on stage, it's dark, and it's showtime when he comes on the stage. And you go to church, and you do your thing, and you say, "Oh, I went to church," and you didn't serve one bit. Now, the good thing about our church is that most people of our church serves. In Jesus Christ calls us and equips us. In fact, my calling as a pastor teacher is to equip people. Go to Ephesians 4. Go to your left. And this is talking about Jesus giving to the church some gifts to the church. Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastor teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of diakonia, be a servant. In other words, what I do in teaching is so that we can all be equipped to serve the Lord. Now, in the church, there are what is called different offices, and one is elder and one is a deacon. So go back to 1 Timothy. Let's continue. 1 Timothy 3. Deacons, 1 Timothy 3:8, deacons likewise . How does a deacon contribute? What do they do? First of all, deacons are necessary in order for the Word of God to be prioritized. Deacons make it possible. We have deacons around here, and all you guys are deacons, pretty much. I wouldn't know how to do the sound. I wouldn't be able to do the camera. I can't. You know, but deacons make it possible for the church to be healthy. You can't expect one guy to do it all, can you? No. Deacons really make it possible for the Word of God to be taught and the ministry of the Word to be. I mean, that's why in Acts 6 they said, hey, we have a problem here, and we can't leave our ministry of teaching God's Word, so you guys appoint people to help out. And so they support the instruction of the Word and the ministry of the Word, and they meet the practical needs of the church, right? John Calvin says that deacons are ministers of mercy. In some churches, deacons are part of the group that help distribute funds to the poor, meet financial means, and maybe bring food to people. They meet practical needs. They allow the church to be healthy in a functioning way because they assist, and they're necessary. Deacons are doers, basically, and they're wonderful gifts. But what's their character? Look at verse 8. First of all, as far as the character of the deacon, these must be men who are worthy of respect. This is the overall emphasis in verses 8 through 10, where it says, I'll just read the three verses. Deacons must be dignified, not double-tongued, not indulging in much wine, not fond of dishonest gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must be tested. Let them serve as deacons if they're beyond reproach. In other words, deacons must be men worthy of respect. This list here is not about a skill set. It is about character, moral and spiritual character. They're recognized for that. These men must be men of dignity. You see this in verse 8? They must be dignified. Men who have dignity, worthy of respect. The word there is semnos. It means to be honorable, worthy of esteem because of his behavior and character. A deacon is not a silly or flippant person. He doesn't make light of serious matters. Of course, he's not joyless and cold, right? That would be weird. But he knows when to take, you know, he understands the seriousness of certain things, and he approaches that with that. But he has appropriate dignity and character. It's the same word that's used in Philippians 4:2, where Paul says that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, right? Whatever is right and pure, lovely, of good repute, think of these things. That's the same word for dignified. Not only the character of the dignified, but they're also controlled in their speech. Look, it says, and not double-tongued. Do you see that? Not double-tongued. That word is a Greek word that's dialogos, di meaning two, logos, words. It means they have two tongues almost. And the idea is you're flapping your tongue one way and flapping your tongue another way. In other words, you're saying one thing to some people and saying another thing to some people. There's no integrity. This is somebody, the deacons aren't two-faced. They're not hypocritical. They're men of integrity in their speech. They're consistent in what they say. They're considerate in what they say. They're compassionate, and they're controlled in what they say. And they realize that they might be facing and dealing with difficult people, so they'll know how to hold their tongue and know how to be wise in what they say. Amen? They're not gossips, and they don't give criticism. They don't critical comments, but they speak the truth with love. That's the character of the deacon. Not only that, the deacon is also a man who is controlled by the Holy Spirit and not controlled by spirits. Not indulging in much wine. He is not addicted or not controlled to much wine. The word for addicted or controlled is prosecco. It means to be a habitual practice. It means to occupy your mind. That means you're always thinking about something. And deacons and elders as well, and hopefully pastors, aren't obsessed with alcohol and drinking. Their mind is not on those things. It does not mean they don't drink, but they are considerate. They understand that they be careful. They understand that if things can go a certain way, they understand they're going to have a boundary there. They're self-controlled in their appetites and their cravings, and they won't want things to hinder their work of God or their judgment or their witness. No, they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And they're also men with pure motives. Look at verse 8. They're not fond of dishonest gain or sordid gain. They're not obsessed with making money, greedy for more money. Boy, you know, it's interesting. It seems like money is the one thing, money and something else. But money, it really tests people. And deacons are not desirable to make more money in the sense of at the disadvantage of the church. They're entrusted with things, right? They're entrusted because they're not obsessing with getting rich off of people. The word there means to acquire wealth in such a way that a person doesn't care how they make it. But deacons are entrusted, and sometimes they're entrusted with, you know, financial things, and so they have to have pure motives, and they don't have the motive. Their motive is pure. They're not looking to advantage themselves. No, they have, as the opposite, they have self-control, and they're a generous spirit, but they also are able to handle finances, as Paul would say earlier to the elders, free from the love of money. This is some of the characteristics, moral characteristics. I kind of was meditating on what it means to be a servant of God. I want to add this to this section. As I was thinking about this, because they have the whole thing about being a servant is the heart, right? The whole thing is about the state of the heart. The servant of God is always considering the needs of others. He sees the need and attempts to fulfill them. The servant of God never thinks that a particular need is beneath him. Oh, I can't, I would never do that. If Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples, and their feet were dirty, then nothing's beneath the servant of God, amen? Now, he follows the Savior in even the most menial of tasks. The servant of God desires not recognition, but the joy of serving his master, or her master. I will put his and her together, okay? He sees what needs to be done. He does it for the Lord, and he seeks to only hear the words from Christ, well done, good and faithful servant. The servant of God recognizes that their efforts may not be noticed by other people, but they're okay with that. In fact, oftentimes they do their things as unto the Lord in such privacy that no one really understands, and it doesn't get attention from people. They're not interested in that. Their heart is not interested in the applause of people. In fact, they shy away, right? Be careful of those who are seeking leadership in church, who are like, yes, yes, it's all about me, right? It's all about, be careful of that. That is not the heart of a servant. The servant of God says, no, no, no. Christ be glorified. And Moses is that servant. I'm just going to point him out to you right now. And you guys see, another you guys, Brother John, others, so many in here, have that heart. He's not interested in power. The servant of God is always looking to be led by the Lord. If Christ is the great shepherd, he's our shepherd, then we constantly have to look to him, amen? And the servant of God recognizes we're not perfect in the sense that we still have growth, right? We're teachable, and our ears are open and listening for the direction of the Lord, because he might lead you somewhere and to say something and to do something. A servant of God is responsible to the things that belong to the Lord. He's faithful, trustworthy, dedicated. And he's not impressed with himself. In fact, he doesn't give himself much thought. No, it's all about Christ. And it's the joy that he has to serve Christ and to serve others. The servant of God is often the first to arrive and the last to leave. And the last to point out shortcomings in others, because he understands his own frailty. Amen? He spends time with Christ. He serves out of the overflow of that time with Christ. And everything he sees as a way to serve his Lord and Master. His life is consistent. That who he is in private is the same who he is in public. That's why Paul says, let men like these be tested. Let them serve first. Let them be observed in a sense. Let us get to know these men or women. As verse 11 point out, women deacons. Spiritually, look at verse 9, their spiritual conviction or character, that they hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Deacons are men who they may not be required to teach, are still able to know their doctrine. They have to know their theology, know their Bible, right? In Acts 6, the men that were chosen aren't technically called deacons, but they serve in that role, and many of those men went out, like Philip the evangelist, to preach. These are men who hold to the mystery of the faith, which is that which was hidden, now was revealed in Christ, things like, you know, Jew and Gentile together, and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within believers, all this stuff that's revealed, and the deacon understands that. But he not only doesn't have a clear theology in his head, he has a clear theology in such a way that he walks with a clear conscience. Why? Because now he lives what he believes. That he's not a hypocrite. He doesn't just say and know one thing, but his life is completely opposite. You can visit him at any time of the day, and his life will be consistent with his theology. Right? That's why he walks with a clear conscience. knows the doctrine, and he can't be accused because he is faithful and living out the doctrine. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially to you." That in godly sincerity and holiness, we have conducted ourselves. That's what he's talking about there. And deacons, of course, have to be tested, as I said before. Verse 10, "And these men must first be tested, and let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach." I think that's my opinion, is that whenever you want to install somebody as official office thing, you have to take a long time to get to know them, to observe them, you know, pray, feel them out, basically, their character, because you're setting an example of what you're doing. Not to say that person's perfect. Let's not put the pressure on, okay? Moses, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Dan, you're not perfect. We're not perfect. In that sense of, but there is this, hey, you have proven yourself. So what we're doing today is not a, oh, it's a prize. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, right? This has been proven. This has been lived out. And some people might say, well, it's about time. Well, yes. And some of but that's the Lord's leading, obviously. He said, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Verse 11 has to do, with women deacons, which we're not going to consider today, but it goes along the same way. Women, likewise, that word likewise introduces a new category, like with the elder and then with the deacon. They must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. By the way, there's no instruction to women elders, because there's no women elders. But there's instructions here. If he wanted to say that these women were the deacon's wives, he would have said, they're women. But he says, women, likewise, new category. But that's a whole other thing. I'm not going to get into that. But they also must have not only be tested and approved, but they must have a quality home life. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife. They honor their families. By the way, I just want to say this. As a rule, whoever serves here, your family comes before serving here at church. Okay? Wives, Christabel, your family comes before whatever Moses does here. Okay? Same thing with Natalie and my wife too. You know, your family, you're married to you. You're not married to the church. You're married to your spouse, and that's your family. That goes priority. So there's times when, like, you know, the timing's not good. I need, hey, you just let us, you just say, oh, we honor that. Because I've been to the churches before where poor husband was married to the church and his wife's like, where's my hubby? You know? No, we want to honor you guys. Honor the family. Deacons manage their family with gentleness, with love, with diligence and deliberateness. And they're faithful to their. They're faithful. They are what, as many Greek translators translate this, as the husband of one wife, a one-woman man. He's not a guy who's cheating on her and having women at the sides and having... No, he's faithful, because this is his character. He's faithful to his family. He's sexually pure and devoted to his wife. And he leads the children in household as well. Now, it doesn't mean that he's perfect in all this. I mean, as parents, we're, especially with your first couple, you're still learning, right? You know, but you're trying your best to raise them in the things of God, and especially by your own lifestyle, setting the example for your children. And as much as possible, taking the time to teach them, instruct them. And how you treat your wife is important to your family, your children, in growing and walking the things of God. It's not, I've heard of stories of her deacons where they, I knew of a story where a deacon was commissioned one Sunday and beat his wife on another Sunday. I'm like, what in the world? Y'all must not have witnessed this guy's character, but that's not what should be. Verse 13, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Again, all of us are called to be servants of God, right? All of us are called to be deacons, but of course, we have the privilege of being able now to set apart and recognize officially a particular man who fits, I believe, these characteristics. And so we're going to do the charge of Brother Moses. If we can bring over the two chairs of Moses, and might as well bring Christopher, you can come up and here as well. Right there is fine. I'll, Moses, just come over here. I'm going to read, and your answer, I will, God willing.
By the grace of God.
By the grace of God. Yeah. And then I'm going to have the congregation also affirm something. And then I'll have a few men come. We're going to pray. Moses, you have been recognized by Resurrection Church to serve the capacity of deacon. You have been selected with the honor and great responsibility for the office. And having perfectly considered the nature and purpose of the work for which you have been chosen, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Will you consider your appointment from God? Will you accept this responsibility and strive to fulfill the position to which you were called and promote the interest of the church to assist the pastor, whatever you can do, to look out for the poor and needy of the church, and see that none shall suffer material aid so as you have your power to prevent. What's your answer?
By the grace of God, I will.
Amen, amen. Will you affirm your allegiance to Christ, the church, and the scriptures?
Yes, I pledge my loyalty to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Will you accept the office of deacon for this church and promise faithfully to perform the duties required in this office?
By the grace of God, I will.
Will you promise to cooperate with the pastor and to further the interest of this church in promoting its harmonious and effective working of all its ministries?
By the grace of God, I will.
Amen, amen. If everyone could stand up in the congregation. Since the apostolic times, leadership in the churches have been entrusted to godly individuals. The Apostle Paul advised that they who ruled well should be counted worthy of double honor. A congregation that calls from among its members those to whom it gives special ministries must be supported of the people whom it has chosen. Will you, as the members of Resurrection Church, acknowledge and affirm this brother as deacon? Will you esteem, honor, encourage, pray for him, cooperate with him as he performs these duties? If you do so, please answer, we will, with the Lord's help. Will you? Bless the Lord. Moses, I charge you now in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit that you will ever strive to fill your office at the best of your knowledge and that you will seek divine guidance in all your work. I'm going to have, if Christabel, you guys can sit. I'm going to have Brother Dwayne and Pastor Brian and Pastor Dwayne, come on. We're going to lay hands on you. You guys, if you want to sit, you can, but we want to, I want you to have a seat. We have another microphone. Can I grab a mic? Okay. Okay. I'm going to have, you pray first, you pray second, I'll pray third, okay?
We on?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. Brother Moses, Christabella, we do you no favors today by marking you out. But you have marked yourselves out. You have served. you have put Christ first. So we recognize that. We do ask the congregation to pray more for the protection will be needed. Lord Jesus, I just ask you, put your Holy Spirit as protection on this couple, on their family. Guide this couple and their family. Guide this man that he might serve you with all that he has. Let him ever look to build the church. Let him ever look to support the pastors and elders that he serves. Lord, may him ever see the blessings that you have given him. And Lord Jesus, I need not ask you to bless him, for all good things come from you, and all the good that he has is from you. You do not need us to tell you how to be good to a man, for you have been good to him. But we ask that you would continue, that you would give him a greater portion, and continue to bless him as he seeks to serve you. I ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, it fills my heart to be here today. This is not a charge that they would live up to. This is a recognition of what you have already done in Moses and Cristobal's life. So, Lord, we thank you for raising up servants, servant leaders who do the work of ministry to serve the church. And Lord, we thank you that you have risen up Moses and Cristobal into this position. Lord, we ask that they would serve with a heart of love, and that they would be diligent in their service, constantly looking for ways to make things go smoother. Lord, lifting up the arms of the pastor and elders. And Lord, may they seek glory from you, not from men. So Lord, use them greatly. Lord, would you raise up their children to be servants as you already are doing? And Lord, would they be an example of others who come of what a servant leader would look like? So Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. And Lord, we ask that you would use them greatly in your kingdom. But Lord, continue to draw them into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you, first of all, as a body of believers who love you, who love one another. We are so grateful, Lord, for your presence here. We want to just cover Moses and Cristobal with your prayers and with encouragement. And we want to just say thank you, Lord, for this man, for this family. They live for you with such honor and integrity. And we just want to pray your protection over them. We ask for divine, godly wisdom in Moses as he serves as a deacon, not just here at church, but even at home, as he serves his family, Lord. Father, we pray that his ministry, though done quietly and often behind the scenes, would be such a fragrant aroma in before you, Lord, that what he does is an act of worship, Lord. We ask that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you would protect him, lead him, use him, Lord. We ask also that you would bless and protect his precious wife, Cristobal, and the family. We ask, Lord, that we as a church family can grow together in serving one another and loving one another. But we thank you for today, for Moses. Bless him and bless our church because of his wonderful ministry. We also pray for, there are others here, Lord, that serve faithfully, and we just want to honor them as well. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Your word says in Philippians that he who began a good work in you We'll complete it. And that's what you're doing. And so we want to honor and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Before, don't get up yet. It's sort of tradition to present. A little gift and a certificate. The gift, I think, is appropriate. It's a towel. That just reminds us that we're here to serve. We're not here to lord it over people, and you know that. So here's a bag too, and just a little certificate as well. And then we have, first of all, Pastor. Kevin from New Orleans sent a little video thing, and the pastor, Bishop C.L. Mitchell, sent a statement. I'm going to read it to you. He wasn't able to do a video, but he sent me something to read to you, and I am going to read it for you. This is from Reverend C.L. Mitchell. He says, "Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to you, Moses, in your ascendancy to the diaconate. It is a privilege to be trusted by God to serve alongside your pastor in seeing to the care and practical needs of Resurrection Church. Throughout time, God has wisely and graciously anointed men who, under the control of the Holy Spirit, evincing wisdom, skill, and a good reputation amongst those in the local church, as well as those outside the Christian community. You have been called to that sacred gathering of servant leaders to the glory of God and the good of Christ's church. Serve in humility. Serve in fidelity. Serve with integrity. Serve with spirit-empowered vitality. Serve with keen perspicuity." You know, this is CL talking here, right? "Serve with the conviction and character that breathes authenticity. Serve with Christ informed and infused generosity. Serve alongside God's servant with masterful creativity. Serve in tumultuous times with biblically informed serenity. Serve with all the days of your earthly life with felicity, knowing that he has called you to service, so shall be your soul's reward, yours through and for the cause of Christ, Bishop C.L. Mitchell." Blessings from C.L. And then we have from Pastor Kevin, he sent a little video. Do we have that ready? On the, just want to play that. You want to unmute, start again? It's like a minute long.
Church there in Phoenix. Moses, I just wanted to encourage you. I thank you so much for all that you're doing there for Resurrection Church there in Phoenix. I wanted to just kind of give a shout out to you and the congregation. Just let you know that in the scriptures there in the New Testament, when it mentions deacons, bottom line is, deacons are designated doers. They're servants of God's people. And so I know that you've already been serving. That's probably why you were elected as a deacon. And I just want to encourage you. God bless you. We're here with you as elders and pastors to come around you and to help equip you in everything that you do for other people. And I just want to encourage you and your wife and your family, serve the Lord as though the Lord is watching. You only answer to him. You're only there to please God. And in the midst of that, people get loved and people's lives are changed. So God bless you. And I'll be praying for you. And I pray that as the service takes place today, that God just touches your heart with his word, that the worship would be a blessing to you, and that the people that come around you and encourage you in this title, though it is a title, it's really just an acknowledgement that you are blessing God's people already. So God bless in the midst of this big change in your life. We'll talk to you later.
Praise the Lord. Well, when we stand up, let's give just a... Actually, I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. And then afterwards, we'll have some snacks. But let me just pray, okay? Father, thank you for this beautiful time. Thank you for this celebration. And thank you for what you're doing in our church. And Lord, I ask your blessing on everyone here. I ask, Lord, that you'd bless and keep everyone here, that you would cause your face to shine on everyone and to be gracious to everyone, and that you would lift up your countenance on anyone and give you your peace. And we pray especially, Lord, for Moses and Christabel, just that you go with them today, And we just want to thank you for them. And thank you for your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I know we're going to do a teardown, but before that, if anyone, we'll have some snacks out, like some cookies and water. I can't talk right now. And then we'll do a teardown. But if you can stay for that, if you can help out, it'd be wonderful.